good old blood songs. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Well, one day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Come on, say it again. Well, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. They nailed him to the tree. They nailed him to the tree. They nailed him to the tree. They nailed him to the tree for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. To the tree. Well, they pierced him in the side. They pierced him in the side. They pierced him in the side for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, he died upon me. They pierced him in the side for me. He never said a mumbling word. He never said a mumbling word. He never said a mumbling word. He never said a mumbling word for me. Whoa, one day when I was lost, he died upon me. Oh, never said a mumbling word. He hung his head and died. He hung his head and died. He hung his head and died. He hung his head and died for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, he died upon me. I know it was the blood. Well, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. You know it was the blood for you. Come on, just give God a hand praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon. For my pardon, this I. Of good and I have done. precious. Come on. God, we thank you. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your tremendous sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us. You love us. Even when we didn't deserve it, you gave your all so that we could be free. You laid down your life so that we could have life. So we thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight we come to reflect. We come to remember. We come to say thank you. We'll never know how much it costs to see our sin upon that cross. So here we are tonight. Here we are to worship. Here we are to remember. Here we are to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. We love you tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, tonight we have a few people that are going to, we're going to sort of reflect on the seven words of Christ while he was up on the cross, while Jesus was on the cross. And we're going to have various ones that are going to come and just do a brief reading on each one of those sayings. But before they do, we want to just show you just a brief 2 minute or so video from the one of the movies, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, this video will show Jesus carrying the cross to Calvary. And I just want those who have children want you to know that it will show nails being nailed in his hands and his feet and him being lifted up on the cross. So just want to make you all aware of that. So, all right, are we ready? All right.
Stay back! Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The first words from the cross was the word Father, and the last word will begin with a simple word, Father. It shows us the relationship that our Father had with the Son, and that's the kind of relationship God, the Father, desires to have with us. The kind that Jesus provided for us by his sacrifice on the cross.
Love forgives. Forgive them. Those who crucified Jesus were guilty, but it was through his heart that they would find forgiveness. It was our sins, my sins, and your sins also that put Jesus on that cross, and he offers us his forgiveness. For they know not what they do. Even though his enemies did not recognize him as the Messiah, Christ displays his limitless compassion.
It is said that we are never more like Jesus than when we forgive those who wrong us. The Bible admonishes us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave us, Ephesians 4:32.
Lord, thank you for praying for the forgiveness of those who did not know what they were doing. May we also be included in that prayer. If we sin out of ignorance or intentional, be merciful to us and give us your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, our suffering Savior. Amen.
Truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. This passage recounts one of the most amazing prayers and promises in the entire Bible. Hanging on crosses at Jesus' right hand and left are two criminals, evildoers, also called robbers. While the criminal on the left was hanging there with just a few minutes left of life, hurled abuse and rejection at Jesus. He blasphemed him and all the way to his dying breath. He rejected the only hope that he had in the world that was right next to him. The other on the right was also a criminal. The last thing he did was throw himself on the mercy of God. He admitted Jesus was the only hope he had and asked him to remember him. He encountered Jesus and he confessed his sin and cried out to him for mercy. Jesus forgave him and offered him eternal life. Jesus not only forgave those who were crucifying him, but he also forgave a criminal hanging next to him. Two of the seven last sayings Jesus made on the cross deals particularly with the subject of forgiveness. God, through his great love and forgiveness, is able to forgive even the worst of sinners. This is a beautiful picture of God's grace. If there's any story in the Bible that teaches us our salvation is by grace alone, through faith, and is not by works, that anybody should boast, and the gift of God, it is this story. God knows how deeply we struggle with the idea and the concept of forgiveness. I believe the reason God spent two of the seven sayings on the cross on forgiveness is because God knows how hard it is for us to forgive people, but also because he knows how hard it is for many of us to believe that he would actually forgive us. St. Augustine commented on this scene, observe, so little is asked, so much is given. Prayer, today, Lord, all we need to do is lean into the light and with the thief on the cross say, Jesus, remember me. And we get so much more than we ask for. Jesus enabled us by the Holy Spirit to repent and to receive your grace in this world and in the world to come. Amen.
standing beside her was his beloved disciple, John. In his last moments, Jesus called for her and said, "Woman, behold your son." Then he called to John and said, "Behold your mother." It was his final act of devotion to entrust the care of his mother to his closest friends. He knew that John would provide for her and protect her in his absence. Jesus' first two statements reveal his divine side, his power to forgive sin and to grant eternal salvation. His third statement reveals his human side, and fully God and fully man. Jesus' concern for Mary was not just as a savior, but also as a son. Simeon prophecy spoke volumes. Luke 2nd chapter 34th and the 35th verse says, "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the full and rising of many of in Israel, and for her a sign that is opposed.'" 35th says, "And the sword will pierce through your own soul also." So that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Jesus' words were words of care and compassion. Compassion for his earthly mother reminds us that Jesus also cares for our own well-being and directions in life. Even when we don't understand God's plan. And as Jesus asked John to care for Mary, he asked to care for others on his behalf. Do you see the selflessness of Jesus in his hour of great needs? He thought of others. On this occasion, the needs was his mother. Hear the greatest lesson of the third saying from the cross. Jesus cares. The apostle Peter reminds us, 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, "Casting all our anxieties on him because he cares for you." The old song says as well, does Jesus care? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with grief, with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Prayer. Lord, thank you for the great reminder of your affliction and cares for us. It was in your hour of greatest suffering and expressed compassion for your mother. And Lord, grant that we follow your example. Help us to show our concerns for the needs of others, reaching out to provide for those who suffer. Amen.
Soul flooded with questions. 32 hours, not a moment of rest. Weeping instead of sleeping, heart broken in a billion pieces. Never wanting love to hurt like this, I thirst. Wailing out at the piercing of every thought. Minutes feel like hours and hours like laborious days. When will my heart be restored? When will grace cover my pain? I thirst. Time passes, vulnerable. The open wounds deepen. As more pain is inflicted, those who should love me are not even convicted by their taunting and ridicule. Love is far from their hearts, for all they see is what they want. Pride, their complacent part. Ignorant to the price, puppets to the enemy's vice. They know not what they do. I thirst. Bearing the pain in spite of this reality, knowing in the end God's word reaps finality, and at this moment I'm heavy, but it's only a fallacy, attempting to abort the coming glory. I thirst. I refuse to take this cup of delusion, and I surrender my will, preparing to be killed. There must be death before there is life. Soon, very soon, no longer will I thirst. Seeing the purpose before me, knowing without doubt this too is my story, and in the end my thirst will be quenched. To the grave, transitioning from death to the grave, rising then revealing that I am the source, the living water, for all those who choose to come to me and who thirst.
My God, why have you forsaken me? These words of Jesus from the cross must be the most astounding sentence in the Bible. As Jesus was dying on the cross, he confirmed the beginning of the prophetic Psalms 22. The psalmist expressed these words centuries before. Why had God abandoned him? Why did his father turn his back on him in his moment of greatest agony? Jesus, our Savior, has made it forever unnecessary for us to experience or understand the depths of these words from the cross. The reality of sin and holiness reveals the reason for the sacrifice. These words reveal the horrific cost of putting away of our sin. In his life, Jesus had felt pain and suffering physically and emotionally, but he had never known separation from his Father. Now he does. There was a critical sense in which Jesus rightly felt forsaken by the Father at this moment, because God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus was identifying with us as he hung on the cross. He had to pay the price and feel the wrath of God poured out against the sins of the world. Isaiah the prophet said, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." Isaiah 53:10. Today, you may feel like God has forsaken you in a similar way Jesus felt. But you need to understand, as one writer said, sometimes God takes away from a Christian his comfort, but never takes away his sustaining presence. Prayer. Lord, it is so comforting to know that Christ can fully sympathize with the human being who feels abandoned by God. Jesus, not only did you take the death we deserved, but you experienced the separation from God that we deserved as well. Thank you for this assurance. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Amen.
It is finished. When Jesus said, "It is finished," surely he was expressing relief that his suffering was over. "It is finished," I believe, meant, in part, "This is finally done." However, tetelestai, the Greek word for "it is finished," means more than just this. The Message translation captures the full sense of this word. After he took the wine, Jesus said, "It is done, complete." John 19:30. Jesus had accomplished his mission. He had announced and inaugurated the kingdom of God. He had shown the love and grace of God. He exemplified that love and grace by dying for the sins of the world, thus opening up the way for all to live under the reign of God. He had finished, accomplished his Father's will. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. John 17:4. What does God's love look like? The prophets of the Old Testament tried to answer it. Isaiah gave us the picture of the suffering servant, and Jeremiah drew a picture of the divine potter remaking the marred vessel. Yet these depictions did not adequately express to us the true measure of his love. That question was never truly answered until Jesus, hanging on a cross in unimaginable suffering, beaten and bruised, providing our redemption. You cannot look at this, at that scene without seeing God's love. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. God, as we reflect upon this saying, may we be reminded of your great love for us. It is here where we see what true love looks like, unselfish and sacrificial. May we exemplify this kind of love in our day-to-day life. Amen.
Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus, as a child, probably memorized those words. They are taken from Psalm 31:5. Quote, into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. End quote. Jesus didn't use the words redeem me. It was necessary for David to say, redeem me, O Lord. Jesus had no need for redemption because he was the Redeemer. Only one word is added to this verse, Father. It tells us how our Lord died willingly and victoriously. William Barclay says, even on a cross, Jesus died like a child falling asleep in his Father's arms. I believe everyone who knows Jesus as their Savior may die with the same confidence and assurance. Jesus here reveals that God was, even in this moment, still his Father, and he trusted the Father to receive his Spirit. We see Jesus dying as he lived, in complete dependence upon the Father, and submitted to his will. This final word of Jesus reveals to us how to die well. What a wonderful way to think of passing on, committing oneself into the hands of the Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus places himself into his Father's hands. Incredible dependence and trust. Faith. Jesus gave us these words of comfort in John 10, verses 28 and 29. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Father, we often find our minds filled with fear and questions concerning our life on this earth and impending death, and the world has no answer. It is only when we turn to your word, and especially as we read these words, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Here we find hope. Thank you for teaching us how to live victoriously, even in the midst of a dying world. And everyone said, amen. I want to thank all those who participated in our seven words. of Christ. I have a little flip book sort of on my desk. It is My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. And I think it was today or yesterday, the statement read like this. Salvation is easy because it cost Jesus so much. I want to read for you 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. Reads like this. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have been returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your tremendous sacrifice. As we prepare now to partake of your table, you said to do this in remembrance of you. We are here tonight to remember your tremendous sacrifice. I pray that we would remember one of the things that you said to the disciples on that night, that last night that you spent with them before you went to the garden, where you said, a new covenant I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. You gave your life. May we be willing to give of ourselves beyond what is comfortable in order to be a blessing to others, in order to give people what they need. For God so loved the world. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave what was most valuable to him, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross so that we may have life. First Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's what we're doing tonight. Tonight we are proclaiming the Lord's death. We are remembering the Lord's death. You will be served, and as you're served, we'll sing a couple of more blood songs.
The blood that Jesus shed. say it will never end. It's high. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, gives me strength from day to day. Oh, it will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts. It soothes my doubts. Tonight. Oh, I know it reaches to the highest mountain. Hallelujah. Oh, it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, I know the blood that gives me strength. Oh, from day to day. Oh, it will never lose its power. Come on, let's sing it one more time. I know it reaches to the strength right now. From day to day, oh, it will never lose its power. Oh, it will never lose its power. Say that one more time.
That night, just a few hours before he would be arrested, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. Go ahead and break that little wafer. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat." Then he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, which is shed just for you. Drink ye all of it." Hallelujah.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes.
Come on, stand on your feet.
Well now, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, it washes white as snow.
Oh, I'm saved by the blood. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. Oh, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. Oh, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. Oh, it washes white as snow.
There's power in the blood.
Well, there's power in the blood. Son Jesus, that washes us white as snow. We are so thankful as we leave tonight. We're preparing in our hearts, thankful in our hearts, of the celebration that will take place on Sunday morning when you got up from that grave. Hallelujah. We bless you now. Bless us as we leave this place, but not your presence, as we continue to reflect on your tremendous sacrifice. We are so thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace of the Lord.
Jesus, we see you on the cross, and you're beautiful. Thank you.